Live from the Shangri-La of South County.
Coming to you from Rust and Tustin, the state of disrepair.
In the morning, Nathan Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
Is your MacBook Pro display going to fall apart before the end of the show?
I don't know. Fucking... I vaguely remember you mentioning that you had a problem with yours, but I didn't know that you actually had to, like, get yours replaced altogether, so...
Yeah, it's all one unit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The glass is part of the display, and the shell is the frame that makes it rigid.
Yeah, I was cleaning my display today, and, like, you know how dust will build up into the corners?
Yeah.
You kind of have to, like, go around the edge with the cloth when you're cleaning it. I don't know what happened, but I did that on that corner, and I thought originally, like, I got something underneath it, like some moisture or something. And then I ran my finger over it, and I could feel, like, my finger catching on it. So I'm like, that's weird. That's like a scratch. And so I read up more on it, and apparently there's a widespread problem with the late 2012 to late 2015 MacBooks. And they didn't fix it, I guess, over that span of time. So they had like a
recall.
It's not a recall, but it's, what do they call it? It's
a replacement program or something.
Yeah. Replacement program or like repair program. And, fortunately it happened this month and not next month, because next month that free repair program expires. So
pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. My problem was
I would have been so pissed off, because I bought AppleCare on it too. You know, $350 ain't cheap, and that would have sucked ass if I paid for that, it lapsed, and then that happened and it wasn't covered.
Yeah. My motherboard is basically toast. Like, I'm out of warranty. There's a sensor or something that isn't reading properly, and my system overheats all the time.
So sell it while you can.
Yeah.
You can get like $700 or $800 for that thing. I got maybe $450 for a first gen unibody from like 2010.
That's pretty good. Those had that problem too. They would overheat and get really slow because they underclock super aggressively.
Yeah.
So that's what happens with me. So I have to actively cool my damn laptop. My display problem that I had was image persistence. The original 15-inch Retina display had, there were two models. I don't remember who made who, but one of them would leave whatever you last looked at on the screen. It would just like burn in. So they do a test where they leave a checkered screen up for a couple of minutes, and then they switch to a gray screen. And if they can still see it, it's a dark gray screen. So the advantage is on their side. Mine didn't pass. If you're nice to them, they're always lenient. So they replaced the whole display, which would have been really pricey.
One thing I've found in my experience, I've always approached every time, despite how fucking pissed off I am when something is wrong with an Apple product, I always approach their customer service like very calmly, because usually they'll fix the problem for me, and I've never really had a truly bad experience with Apple warranty service. So
I have.
It was kind of like instant. Well, there's been times where I've been inconvenienced, like what happened with my Apple Watch, and I was pissed off about that. But that's like, looking back, it's kind of understandable. And I got an upgraded model as the replacement, so that all of that kind of like washed all the negativity about those circumstances away. But compared to other tech companies that I've had to go through for warranty service, Apple is far and away better. And most of that's due to the Apple Store, because they just exist. So you have a storefront to go to where people can look at a problem and know right away what it is and get you a replacement as soon as possible. Or fix it as soon as possible.
It helps when you show up with all your stuff already set up. So you're already backed up. and your device is already wiped, so they don't need a password, and they don't have to wait for you to back up.
Yeah.
They like it when you do that. Every time I've gone in, they're like, oh, you're ready. Like, I nuke the device, and then I rename it to fix me. So every single time, they know which one it is.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do with mine before I take it in on Monday, I'm going to back it up, and then I'm going to wipe it, and then restore from the backup when I get back.
So I know you don't buy your phone till next year, but do you think you would go all out with an iPhone 10?
No.
Now that that's just been announced?
To be honest with you, to avoid problems, I would probably just go with an 8.
Next year, I'm saying.
Oh, next year.
Yeah.
Well, next year they're going to have a new model.
Everybody talks about the one that just came out. Everybody pretty much knows the details of it. So I'm thinking future now.
Yeah, next year, if I get to see what the user experience is like, and not even owning one myself, I'll be able to. I'm going to be setting them up for clients over the next year, so I'll be able to work with them that way, and that will basically be my, like, you know, my testing, my beta testing of that device to help me decide whether or not I'm actually going to get one. Because I know what I'm getting with the iPhone 8 if I were to get one of those. The 10 is a whole new... It's just completely new and different. And I think that people are going to have a lot of problems with it. I mean, I could be wrong, but if history serves me right, then it's going to be like that.
You're talking hardware problems or just no home button problem?
Like the face shit not working properly, and everyone's going to have to enter passcodes, and it's going to end up being like a step backwards because Touch ID was like the solution, and they kind of got rid of the solution and put in another solution that isn't really a solution because it has all of these circumstantial things that, like, you got glasses on, you got to take your glasses off,
you don't. According to all of their material, you can have hats, scarves, glasses.
But you have to set that face up with the glasses on or that hat and have it stored into...
No. Like, if you're wearing tinted glasses, the infrared camera can see through it enough, along with the...
What if you got a motorcycle helmet on?
You have a fucking motorcycle helmet on, it's not going to see you.
If you're on your motorcycle and you want to see what time it is and you're at a street light, stop waiting for the light to change, you pull out your phone real quick and you want to respond to a text or check what time it is.
Is that what you do on a motorcycle?
No, but when I'm in my car, in between lights, I'll do that.
With your motorcycle helmet? Or just your burka?
Well, when you're on a motorcycle, you don't have a clock sitting in front of you and you don't have CarPlay. You know, you're you got to look at your phone to see if there's anything important that you're missing. I'm just using that as an example. You know, what if you're a Muslim and you're wearing a fucking hijab everywhere?
If you're on a motorcycle, you're also wearing gloves.
Yeah, true. So you couldn't, well.
If you live anywhere where it's cold, you're wearing gloves. You'd use your pin. There's drawbacks, there's trade-offs to both. The dick pic camera being live all the time is a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, the hijab is another one. You know,
You're going to have to use a pin. Or buy an iPhone 8.
Yeah.
Unless that is the future.
Or there's just the off chance that it just doesn't work, like it didn't on the stage of the keynote.
Yeah, I laughed real hard when I saw that. That happened to Steve Jobs when he was demoing something to do with OS X, and luckily they had a backup system, but you could feel the tension come off of him. He was so angry.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I feel bad for Craig Federighi because he's like, that's the only thing he came out on stage for the whole presentation, and that is fucked up.
They claim to have a reason, and if you watch the video, I guess it's believable because the moment it prompts it, it's already on the lock screen. I don't know. I can imagine plenty of failure scenarios. It was not, it didn't instill any type of confidence seeing that sort of fail on this, on, the keynote. So which one would you buy next year? Assuming they get the kinks worked out in a year.
Well, yeah, I would buy the 10 then, but I believe that they're going to find some way to get the Touch ID beneath the glass on that, with that display.
I don't think they're going back. Because they can use this on their Macs. They can use it on an Apple TV.
Well, they already have the Touch ID built into the new iMac or the new MacBooks.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of time before they'll have a keyboard that has that too.
But if they can integrate it into the display with a new Apple display, for example, there will be no need for a battery draining touch bar / touch ID. I would still prefer touch ID, really.
Yeah. Well, especially, and I think people in business environments aren't going to feel comfortable with a camera always recording everything.
I was just thinking
on.
That.
Like I've been in offices where people just put post-it notes over their cameras.
I do it right now. Yeah. I do it on my iPad too, because I leave that thing propped up looking at me.
So that's not going to work. I'm surprised that they didn't announce a new display, a new cinema display.
At the keynote last year?
No, this. Well, yeah, I guess the keynote in March.
WWDC.
Yeah, because that's WWDC is supposed to be the software conference, but they announce hardware too sometimes, don't they? Like that's when they announce the new pro. Yeah,
I guess they do have a thing in March sometimes. Wait, do they? So the WWDC is always in June or July, one or the other.
They released the iPhone SE in March of last year. I think it was like kind of a surprise thing. Like they announced it at the event and then they started selling it like a week later.
The rumor about the Mac Pro, because Apple pulled out of the display market and they're basically out of the Mac Pro market. The announcement about the Mac Pro is that they'll have a new one, but sometime after next year. Sometime next year or after, something like that. They had some vague terms that opened up. It was basically like, there's no Mac Pro for the foreseeable future. Something along those lines. And with that, they would release a new display. Hopefully, by the time they release it, there's like some display that's like 8K with 100 hertz.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, yeah. Why bother?
What if all of the Macs, starting with the MacBook Pro, in a couple of years, once it goes through all the iOS devices, like Retina, what if it eventually gets to the point where the MacBook Pro has 120 hertz display? And then eventually the iMac.
That would be awesome. But that's going to drive up the costs in the manufacturing, because then they're going to have a Retina display that runs that resolution. I mean, they technically already have them on the iPads, but it's a different kind of display.
You're talking about, 5120 times 2880. You're talking about a 14.7 million pixel display.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was going to say real quick, the iPhone SE was announced on March 21st, 2016, and it was released 10 days later on March 31st. I don't think there's ever been a hardware announcement by Apple where there's literally nothing building up to it, and they release it that quickly after.
Yeah, wasn't it like 6 months after the iPhone 6? Or was it the 6S? Okay, and it had the guts of the 6S.
Yeah, and it has 2 gigs of RAM. This phone is going to be able to run every version of iOS for a long time, because the 7 only, my 7 only has 2 gigs of RAM.
It's an evergreen.
If I were to get a burner phone or like a work phone to use, I would probably get an SE.
I'd get an Apple Watch.
with the LTE. You know what?
Yeah, I'm totally considering it.
Well, yeah, you should now. If there's
$120 a year.
Okay, here's the problem. Okay, you got to pay for a device activation fee, and then you got to pay to add this onto your existing data plan every month. Then you also have embedded SIM in this thing, so you can't resell it to, like, the nice thing about the iPhone is like when you're done with it, you could pop the SIM out. You could sell it on Craigslist, and someone else could pop a SIM in it and take it on another network. You're not going to be able to do that with the Apple Watch now. And so now you're already segmenting off the resellability of the device.
It's software defined. Why wouldn't you just make it a Verizon SIM? It's arbitrary.
I thought that there's there's some embedded shit on the SIM built into the phone.
It's a virtual SIM. I don't see how that would be much different than the virtual SIM on the iPad. They have a physical SIM that goes in, but it goes to every platform, but AT&T bricks it for every other platform or network except for theirs, because AT&T is the evil empire.
Okay, so if you put...
I don't know how it'll work. I'm just speculating. I assume...
Okay, but when you go to the store, is there only going to be one Apple Watch LTE option, or are you going to have to choose a provider?
That's my understanding. And it doesn't support all the bands on every network.
So it's basically all the versions are going to be unlocked.
I think so. You don't subscribe it to its own plan. You tack it onto an existing one that uses your existing phone number.
See, that makes it more lucrative to me now, because I didn't know that. I thought you were going to have to...
I think they're underbilling. $10 a month?
It's only $60 more than the non-LTE option, too. What about battery life, though? It didn't seem like they talked very much about that. Like, they said, the usage of the power usage is down 50% from the previous model, but they didn't say how that compares with the LTE version of the previous model. They just said that across the board for the new version 3.
I read the stats somewhere. It kills the battery.
That's what I figured. That's no good then.
So if you're either on a call or just on LTE, I'm not sure which, 4 hours.
Oh, it's useless.
Well, if it's 4 hours in a phone call, that's pretty useful. But
it doubles as a watch. You need it to work throughout the day.
The battery life is the same as long as you're in the same conditions where you're within range of your iPhone. Otherwise, you just put your Apple Watch in airplane mode or, you know, turn off the cellular.
But the whole idea is that you don't have to carry your phone with you. So
yeah. So the way I would run it is like an iPhone in a foreign country, disable cellular until you need it.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, what's the point? If the whole selling point is to use it without the phone, if the battery life is only 4 hours for everything that you're going to do through that device, that's not practical.
Well, it's not a practical device. You're not going to use it like a phone, like your iPhone, in the sense that you're using it. You glance at an Apple Watch.
True. I mean, the Apple Watch I use for, like, throughout the day, what I use it for, viewing and reading texts. I'll use it for turn-by-turn directions, and I'll use it for, like, notifications and reminders of stuff. That's it. Like... So if I were to, that's the other thing too. If you don't have your phone with you, how are you getting notifications? That's like done, right? You're just notifications.
LTE. I didn't read anything about notifications being disabled.
That's going to use up your data plan, isn't it? For every little notification, it's going to be over LTE.
Yeah, but notifications, they're just text. iMessages will actually use data, but I don't know what can and can't be used on that cellular plan. I'm assuming that it's locked down, so you can't just sit there and, like, I don't know, stream a movie.
For example, you bring up your mail app on your Apple Watch. It has to then load shit from your iPhone slowly.
No.
It takes a while.
It has
just doing
apps
that over Bluetooth. So how am I going to set up? So I'm in the watchOS app. If I want to work through the mail app on my Apple Watch exclusively outside of having it communicate with the iPhone, how would I go about setting that up? Is there now going to be a mail setting where I set up my different accounts and stuff like that through the Watch app, or
no? Unless they did something radically new with watchOS 4, it still depends on the iPhone, but it can do things on its own. Like an iPod was dependent on a computer for syncing its music and its contacts.
Yeah, but it was dependent on any computer that can run iTunes, not a proprietary device. So you're still going to need an iPhone to even use this thing.
Yes. Just like okay. The last Apple Watch.
Well, it was obvious for the last Apple Watch, but the way that they made this thing look in the presentation was like, if you're an Android user, just go into a, fuck it, just go into the store. And, you got your flip phone user even. Go in the store and buy an Apple Watch and you can
use it. Maybe someday. Maybe. But I doubt it. It's the perfect lock-in.
Your calls are going over data only, though. There's no actual radio or cell network radio in it, right?
Yeah, I assume it's like VoLTE or whatever.
It's not GSM or CDMA. It's
I think it's pure LTE. There's no legacy.
It's interesting.
Networks.
So why would it need a SIM then? Just for the data?
Verizon uses SIM cards for LTE now.
Okay.
That's what I heard. So they're not on a just CDMA network. Everybody's just kind of on a giant Wi-Fi network. I don't know how else to describe it. There's still incompatibilities. Obviously, Verizon owns certain spectrums that AT&T doesn't, so Verizon can potentially penetrate buildings with that lower frequency. I think they own 700 megahertz. Barely.
God, we have a couple clients that I have to go to where it's a total, and it'd be in ritzy areas like Newport Beach and stuff like that, and it's total fucking dead zone. Like nobody has a reception. Doesn't matter what carrier you have, it's like you're in a fucking Faraday box or Faraday cage, whatever you call it. What else? Oh, Apple TV. Are you going to get a 4K?
I don't even have a 4K TV. I hate TVs.
It's time to buy because you get them with HDR. I should have waited because I could have got... My TV doesn't have HDR. I know you think it's stupid, but it does make stuff look better. And they're increasingly working it into all kinds of content. I would like... Because now that the Amazon app is coming out, for tvOS, I would like to, once I get rid of fucking Spectrum, like either when I move or when I just say fuck them and get rid of it, I'm kind of stuck with them right now because the area I'm in only offers shitty AT&T DSL or them. So it's like, I have to stay with them. But once I get rid of them or once I'm moved off of them, I would like to just have one device. I want to get rid of all these fucking devices I have. I have a fucking Roku. I have an Apple TV, I have a Chromecast, and I have to shuffle through all these fucking things. I even try to get like a universal remote so I could work with all of them, and it
does suck too.
Oh man, the Logitech ones, the way that you configure them is intuitive, but actually using them is not intuitive at all. What they did is they made giant buttons that you never fucking use, like the power button, because devices go to sleep. You don't turn stuff off manually every time anymore. And then they made the guide buttons and the arrow buttons for like going through the programming fucking tiny. So like there's these little tiny arrows that you're just pressing over and over and over again. And like just to cycle through channels. And I fucking hate using it. So I inevitably go back to the Roku remote with a big, you know, arrow pad on it, which is way more comfortable to use. And then when I do anything over my local network, like watching Plex stuff or, you know, some of my subscription stuff like Stars, I like using just because the apps on the Roku are fucking garbage. Like I refuse to use the Roku for viewing content through their apps. So I switch over to the Apple TV because the experience is just better. And then I have the TV app where I can just consolidate all of those subscription apps like Stars and Showtime, whatever, into that interface. And so I find myself switching back and forth from them And then the third thing is the reason why I still have the Roku is because of the 4K. So I can get Amazon 4K going out of that. And so if I could get the 4K Apple TV, I'd sell off the my 1080p one, or use it somewhere else in another part of the house. And then I would sell off my Roku, and I would just use that Apple TV as my only 4K device. And then I can get Amazon, I can get Netflix, I can do like a Sling subscription or something like that, which is what I'm going to move over to once I'm done with Spectrum, or PlayStation View, whatever. So I'm going to get one. I'm going to probably wait a little bit, because I remember waiting when I got my first Apple TV, and I got it for $50 less than MSRP. So I'm going to hopefully do the same thing with a new one. And then hopefully I can sell off my old devices and just make it not cost me anything.
You could probably sell it for $80.
The current Apple TV?
Or 100, or I don't know.
I paid 100 for it, so if I got like $75 for it, I'd be happy. Or, you know, even 50. And then I would just use that, put that towards the new Apple TV. The Roku was like about the same price. The 4K Roku was about $100, so same deal. Sell that off for like $75-$50.
They changed the remote 4K Apple TV. It's got like a...
I didn't know that.
Like a little white circle around the menu button. I'm not even sure why they did that. The biggest complaint people have is you can't tell what fucking direction you're pointing it. You pick it up, and because it's symmetrical, you have to look at it or feel, but then you move the tracker.
Oh, it has haptic feedback capabilities.
Oh.
That's
kind of cool then.
Yeah.
I wonder if the glass doesn't flex anymore, if it's solid state.
The Mac Rumors thing I'm looking at right now is... And it's cheaper. It's $20 cheaper than the last gen remote. It's $59. So you could actually buy this and use it with your existing Apple TV. Channel, you don't even have to get a 4K Apple TV. MacRumors.com.
All of their remotes going back to the 2005 iMac or 2004 iMac, they're all compatible. But you know the little tiny white one? Then they made it bigger and made the big aluminum one. Then they made the aluminum one enhanced so you can feel where, like, whether you're in the divot or along the left, right, up, down buttons. Then eventually evolved into the trackpad one. I have one of every version of that remote. They don't change them very often. So if you got a big 4K OLED TV, this HDR thing would work really well because those are super high contrast displays, meaning like super, super bright, super, super dark. Did I lose audio?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The, one thing I don't understand with every time they announce, they say they have a new Retina display. Excuse me. I've looked at iPhone 6 displays, iPhone 6S displays, iPhone 7 displays. They all look the fucking same to me. Like, maybe the brightness is different. When I was watching the keynote, part of me was thinking, like, is this just, like, marketing mumbo-jumbo, a lot of this stuff? Like, I don't think a lot of these so-called features that they're talking about actually make a difference. I think it's just numbers. Like, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like, I know you're not into sports, but like a sports analogy is like quarterback rating for a quarterback. It's like, it's purely stats. It has no weight in any, like, it's not something you can actually see or discern, but like quarterback rating is like an arbitrary rating that they give to quarterbacks that based on completions of passes you know, how many times they threw an interception or taking sacks, things like that. And it's this arbitrary calculation they use to get that number. So when I watch these keynotes and I see like Phil Schiller out on stage talking about new Retina display and like talking about how it's like 10 nits higher than the old one. It's like, is that really something you're going to be able to discern the difference of? Or is it, you know, like, because I can't tell the difference between a 6 or a 6S or a 7 display. They all look the same to me. With wider color gamuts or whatever, it...
Yeah, so are you referring to wide color or Super Retina?
Well, no, because they talk about every new iPhone, they say, we have a new Retina display. You know, like, no, I'm not talking about the Super Retina display on the iPhone 10. I'm just talking about, like, the same Retina display they've used for the 7, the 6S, and the 6. They keep saying it's a new Retina display, you know, and then they throw out these specs. They say it has a wider color gamut, or it has higher brightness, 25% higher brightness, or sharpness, pixel density, whatever. Like, they all look the same to me. Like, they look like they're no different from one another. So I think they, to a certain extent, are trying to fill the time. Like they're trying to over explain the changes when they're really minor and they don't even need to bring them up at all. You know what I mean?
When you compare one generation to another, you're talking about whatever, let's just throw out a random number, a 25% wider color gamut or something. You don't see those changes until your phone is like 2 or 3 generations behind and you start to compare those. If you go and take a 7 or one of the new 8s and you compare it against an iPhone 4, the original Retina display, there's a big difference.
Well, I think the first time we're going to see a true difference is with this new phone, with the 10, because it's a completely different display technology. Now it's OLED.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't flicker.
From what I've heard, people that have, not heard, but what I've read on the Macrumors forums and like their articles, they say it's like a paper-like surface. That's how real to touch it is on the new phone. Like, it looks like it's like you're touching a piece of paper and like the stuff is like drawn on it. It's that clear and like that, what's the word for it?
It looks like it's backside illuminated paper. Yeah. Super high resolution.
Yeah.
Retina displays have that look, but if you get close enough, you can technically see the pixels. So at 500 so
there's
DPI,
aliasing on the thing that always gets me with the retina, at least on the 4.7 inch iPhone, I haven't noticed it as much on the 5.5, but the 4.7, you could see aliasing on all of the characters if you look in close enough, like on like numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's got to be a small number then, like up in the menu bar. It's scaled the same amount as like an iPhone SE, but an SE has 4X Retina. These are 6X.
I think it's partially because of the fonts they use and stuff like that, and the backgrounds. They'll have black on white, and then they'll use that really thin font that they like invented their own font.
They went back to a thicker one, though.
You could see it brings out the aliasing more than if they use a different contrast or thicker text.
You're on a 7, aren't you?
Yeah.
So the problem with the 7 and the 7S...
It takes 720p and scales it up, basically. That's the problem with it.
No. Well, maybe for video, but no. Instead of using... instead of multiplying the resolution by 2... Where you take, what was the old iPhone resolution? It's like the iPhone 4. It was 960.
I mean, it's 750p. So it
the old
be...
one was 960 by, what was it, 640? So it would be 480 by 320. The original iPhone, the 3GS. 480 by 320. Is that right? Wait.
I'm just saying
I'm trying to explain
the sake of simplification, really, it's a 1334 by 750, which is really damn close to 1280 by 720. And so really, if you're looking at it objectively, you could say that it's a scaled up 720p display.
No, you can't. I'm trying to explain it. So instead of multiplying the width by 2, when they went with the 4 and the retina resolution, the retina screen, the first retina screen, which is nice and clean, they can scale it up. They don't have to do any interpolation. It just fucking naturally scales. Just like they include
3880 by 1440 or 3880 by 4K 3880 by 29
Fucking shit never works when you need it to. Why would a keyboard not work?
It's wireless.
Yeah, well, it's worked since 2003.
Wireless keyboards are everything wireless as far as interface input devices are shit, in my experience. I can't believe you play games with that. That the latency and the...
There's no latency, man.
There's no
3840.
Perceivable latency.
So 1080p scaled up, so 1920 by 1080 is, so you multiply the width, 1920 by 2, 3840. That's why they include it in 4K. It doesn't technically reach 4,000 horizontal lines of pixels or 4,000 pixels wide. So it's technically not 4K, but they include it because it's a real high-speed way to scale up 1080p video, make it 3840, and get it, it's 4K. Rather than having these intermediate pixels, like, what are you multiplying by 2.33 or something? What do you do with the extra pixels? You have to interpolate it, otherwise you're going to get a weird, moire line or something with the pixels not lining up right. So, with the iPhone 6, they fucked it all up. And instead of going, multiplying the width by 2, the height by 2, to have 4 times the resolution, they multiplied it by 3. 3 wide. How do you divide that by 2? You're going to have 1.5 pixels? So it's not a clean number. It's an ugly number. It's an odd number. So it's 6 times the resolution.
Maybe that's why I think I've said, even on previous episodes we've done before, that I always thought that the Retina display and the 5 and the 5S and even the 4 were superior to the one in the 4.7 inch.
Yeah. It's because it's clean. It's a clean 2X number. It's 100% clean. It scales all the way back to the original stuff. They just boost it, and you just have pixelated stuff. If you scale it to 3X, like the Mumble app on the 4 or the 4 or on the 6 or the 6S, when they had the bigger sizes, the Mumble app looked like shit. And you'd scroll, and all the horizontal lines would flicker in alternating patterns because it was an uneven number. It's scaling an even number on an uneven number screen. Ugly. But they finally updated the Mumble app a couple days ago. It scales perfectly on all these new larger size phones, and it looks pretty damn good. But everything's smaller, like the push-to-talk button on the Mumble app, it's easier for you to accidentally jump into the wrong channel now. So that's the story of Retina. And the wide color gamut thing, you're not going to see it until you go back. sRGB was a pretty limited color space.
sRGB is what you're using on every display you use other than your iPhone, though.
And most of the content you look at on the web. So if you're comparing two iPhones and you're looking at sRGB content, you're looking at sRGB content. You have to look at whatever the wide color gamut profile is.
See, so now that brings it back to my original point. Isn't that just kind of, they're just rattling off specs for the sake of it?
Retina was superfluous until fucking everything's Retina now. Why would you ever go back to a screen where you can see pixels when you can have one that looks like backside illuminated paper?
It's like bragging about having an AC router when you've only got 100 megabit connection. You know? Or bragging about...
I didn't at the beginning of the show. That's how fast it happened.
Yeah.
In like 5 years, I now have like a 200 megabit connection. I think I started with like 50 down.
Yeah, but in the span of that time, now you may want to upgrade your router again, or your
I know, because I didn't buy a fucking AC router. I got the AP1C from you.
Yeah, but even with wireless N, you're still getting like 600 megabits theoretically.
I'm limited to 100 megs down because of the AP1C.
Oh yeah. Well, even that 100 megs.
Oh wait.
No, you're gigabit with the APU, but
was 100.
It's gigabit in quotes. It's
you're not going to get 400 megs or something.
It's not gigabit. No, 600? I think it's higher than that. I think it's like 600, yeah. Well, it's because of the chip. The chip can't handle it, and then the IO on the board can't handle it either. The NICs can, but the IO can't. They have, supposedly there's new APUs coming out that's gonna be able to support that, but that company is really slow. I remember the Elix and then the APUs. They had the APU1C and the APU2C. The Elix was like their flagship board that was around forever, and it was only 100 megabit. That's what I had before, if that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
And then they upgraded to the APU1C, which uses, it was gigabit NICs, but they're Realtek NICs. And then the APU2C was, they used Intel NICs instead. Intel gigabit NICs. And I think that the throughput was the same on both boards because they used the same processor. At least the dual cores were the same. Then they offered a quad core for the APU2C, and I think with that one, you could probably get like 800. I may be wrong, but I know it's faster than what we have. So they'll get there eventually with those. But how do we even get to this again? The 100 megabit?
Putting hardware in place that is a little ahead of its time.
Okay. Yeah.
Because things will eventually grow to fill it.
But the thing is, though, is that your firewall or your router is an appliance that sits there, and you're not going to even think about it. So chances are you're going to end up using that device way longer than you're going to end up using your iPhone, where every year there's a new keynote and they're showing off features and you want to get the latest and greatest. So investing in something because it's future-proof is kind of ridiculous when it comes to the iPhone, because when the future comes, you're going to get the latest and greatest to replace it.
Yeah, you know? Because it's awesome and you want it. You could get updates longer on your iPhone than you could on any consumer commercial router that you buy off the shelf. Those guys stop updating that stuff within like 2 years.
Yeah, and then there's security flaws and stuff.
Yeah, like the Motorola AT&T thing that we talked about. Or not Motorola, the Aris modem AT&T thing. Where
they should teach all of those cocksuckers, all of those lazy-ass technicians that work for those companies to fucking learn how to use pfSense. That way I could talk them over the phone when there's a problem. They are totally okay. Example, AT&T, they send these texts out that they don't even know how to fucking work with the software on their own fucking gateway devices. They're totally unwilling because they're totally fucking incompetent, and AT&T hires people based on wages. They don't pay. That's how all these ISP companies are. They see someone has a degree from like fucking ITT Tech or DeVry, and they think that they automatically know what they're doing with everything. And then they send them out on a job, and all they do is they read from a fucking script. They don't. They know how to plug in the device and set up the wireless network on it, and that's it. They don't do anything else. They call. They have like these stupid ass bulky phones that they carry around with them, and they call like someone, you know, back in home base to like send their signal to whatever device they're setting up. Like it's a fucking it's still everything's analog, you know. And even though it is sending an analog signal to the modem, but the configuration software and all that stuff that runs on that device, they have no fucking idea how to configure. And I got so pissed off because we had this client that is in this really shitty part of Anaheim, and all that is there is AT&T, and they sent out a tech because their modem was having problems, their gateway modem, that we had to set up an IP pass-through on to our firewall, and the fucking idiot couldn't, he wouldn't, he just flat out refused. I'm like, I was on the phone with him. I'm like, do you not know how to get into your own company, the company that you work for? Do you not know how to work with their own fucking gateway UI? And he's like, oh, I've worked with it before. And he's like some fucking Indian guy or something. And I'm like, do you know how to just click on the fucking checkbox for the IP pass-through setting? And he's like, no. He says, no. He's totally just... And then I'm like, okay, well, I can tell you where to go. He's like, oh, no. He's like, oh, no, I don't know how to this. I don't know how to do this. He's like, I don't do this. This is your fault. This is your... He was like blaming our firewall for the problem. And I'm like, well, for us, for our firewall to work, we need you to enable this pass-through setting in the gateway. And he's totally unwilling. So I had to leave the office, drive over to their fucking building, bring my laptop there, plug it into the switch, get into the AT&T device, you know, admins the fucking login on it, and just click the stupid fucking checkbox to enable the IP pass-through. Like, I wanted to, like, strangle that fucking guy. I wanted to, like, fucking strangle him and bash his head into the ground over and over again.
Oh, man.
And it is so insulting to me. Like, it's so late. There's so many layers to why I hate AT&T as a company. One of those layers is the people they hire. They're fucking dipshits. All of them. Even if you go into, like, an AT&T store, like, their wireless store... I bought, because we have another client that needed a separate access point, like a hotspot to connect their laptop to while they're on the go. And so AT&T sells stupid fucking pager sized devices, these LTE devices that use like fucking mini USB to charge the batteries in them. Just mini? These ancient stupid devices, and they have giant batteries in them. And the fucking guy, he gave me one that didn't work. Like, he didn't even test it in the store. I leave with it. He's like, he told me it works. It's all configured, ready to go. I leave with it, try to set it up at the client's office. Doesn't work. I had to go back to the AT&T store, and the fucking SIM that they put in it was like a dummy SIM. It was never fucking... It was just a dummy SIM that they put in it. It wasn't even a real SIM. And I'm like... How do you even let someone leave the store like that without even testing the device?
So they have shitty training.
Oh man, I don't know how you use them. I don't know. How are you an AT&T customer? Because you're pretty like... I know you have a low tolerance for dealing with bullshit.
I have a very low tolerance. I have been on the phone for 3 hours before. On hold with AT&T for 3 hours. I had dueling, I was calling on like a Google Voice number and then calling from a direct number. This was when I had to change some order with the iPhone. And I was on hold. It was an emergency because I had to buy an iPhone. And I put them both in the queue so that I would race to see which one would get there first. And then I got my business taken care of. And then I let the Google Hangouts one sit in the queue until like the battery died basically on my iPad. And it was in there for over 3 hours. Just to see how long it would go.
Yeah, they're an example of a monopoly. They've kind of been a monopoly as long as they've existed. They picked up, then they took over Pac Bell in like the early 2000s or late 90s. And then they took over SBC. And then they took over, what was it? Singular.
Singular.
They took over them. They've jumped over all of these monopolistic things that other companies would not, especially telecoms, would not be allowed to do. And they've somehow gotten away with it all these years because they're so fucking corrupt. You know how many lobbyists they probably have. Probably
they paid Ted Stevens, the series of tubes guy.
They're probably top five as far as like lobbying goes. And they've never been good. Their service has always been shit. They've never been competitive. They have these monopolies in every area they're in because they bought up all of the fucking lines in the ground. And then they peddle their shitty service and charge a premium for it. Like, the best service that I could get in my house in my area is 768K DSL from AT&T. That's the best service I can get from them at my address.
It's because they only run analog lines there.
Yes, so does Time Warner. There's no fiber in the ground here.
Well, I meant like phone lines versus a cable modem.
Yeah, but UVerse uses phone lines too. It's, at least with UVerse, you'll get like 12 to 15 megabits, which is like usable. 768K is not usable. They shouldn't even be offering that. That's pathetic. It'll take you, with 768K, you can't even load a website. Like, you sit there for five, like 10 seconds trying to load a website.
Yeah, the average size web page is 3 megs.
It's insulting that they even offer that. Yeah, they disgust me as a company. I vowed to myself that I would never be one of their customers ever again. I don't care what service it is. Even if they had fiber in this area, I wouldn't get it. Because they're just shit.
The only reason I call them is to disable my voicemail. It's not a... The phone and phone number is not a real operating phone and phone number.
Oh, you don't use their AT&T mail that they sold off to Yahoo?
I didn't know they had that, but...
No, we have clients that still use AT&T mail. They still left the AT&T domain on the email address, but it's fucking... You have to log in through Yahoo now to manage it. It's so pathetic. They took one pathetic service and shifted it over to an even more pathetic service, which is Yahoo.
They're responsible for the largest data leakage ever. 1 billion usernames and passwords.
Yeah, that's insane. Oh yeah, did you check if you were affected by that Equifax breach?
No, I didn't want to go on some fucking phishing website and enter in bogus or enter in information and have it steal it. So what information did you enter into a random domain name, Nate?
The Equifax site, I read up on it. The Equifax site where you check your, you basically put in your last name and 4 digits to your social.
Is it real?
It's actually real. There was a lot of people that thought it was bullshit at first because it came up, it propped up so quickly.
Yeah, it's on a separate domain name. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just put it off of your main domain, put it on a subdomain? Do they not know how to run multiple servers behind subdomains?
No, they don't, because they got hacked to begin with. I had to check, though, because I wanted to see if I can get involved in a lawsuit and get a settlement out of it.
Oh, so you can get $40 and the lawyer gets multiple millions?
I heard that there's a, you can use chatbot to sue them for up to $25,000 without having to hire a lawyer.
What? You can use a bot for that?
Yeah.
How?
It'll submit court documents for you. All you gotta do, you gotta basically just fill out the basic forms and then it'll do all of the submission for you. So you don't have to have a lawyer show up and submit court documents. It could just all be solved through arbitration.
Interesting.
But there's no guarantee you're actually going to get 25 grand. It's just, it's a shot in the dark. If you were affected by that, you could go ahead and try that.
Hey, go to Mac Rumors right now. Go to the Mac page. The old school rumors, people making mock-ups of like tablets and pro computers, it's starting again. Somebody mocked up a MacBook Pro 10 that's some goofy looking tablet that looks like it came from Sony. This looks like the stuff that they would make in 2002. This is what Mac Rumors was full of. Just artist renditions of all kinds of speculation. Plus this system that they're that we're looking at, it looks like it says ModBook, though. I wonder if that's so they're not using the same brand. I don't know. Anyway, that's bad radio.
I'm looking for it on the front page. I'm trying to see it. I don't see it.
The Mac tab. Front page, and then Mac, and then an iOS blog. Are you looking at it on your phone?
No, I'm on the...
Okay.
Well, there's which Mac tab? There's iMac Pro or MacBook Pro?
Just click Mac blog at the top.
Oh, okay. I see that.
I have a request of the listeners.
Modbook.
The listeners of the show, before you comment on that. I need to know who makes the chips in the iPhone X's, true depth or something, the depth camera, whatever the hell that thing's called. I want to know who makes the dot projector, the floodlight, and the infrared camera. Maybe they all come from the same company. But I'm looking, because you cheap fucks aren't going to bringyourwallet.com/donate and clicking on the amazing web 3.0 technology when you click the donate button. You can contribute to the show by figuring out who makes that chip. Is it Lumentum? Is it some other company? I want to invest in them. Because someday that shit's going to get on your Apple Watch. What do you think about that that artist rendition of the mod book?
Looks like shit.
Yeah. This looks like something resurrected from 2002.
It looks terrible.
It's like a 2-inch thick laptop.
It's that piece of crap keyboard, too.
Yeah, look at all the trinkety shit.
The weird characters on the giant characters and the keys.
Oh, all
this
caps?
Looks like this was all rendered. Like, this doesn't look...
It is.
Okay. Well, the keyboard... The keyboard looks less fake than the tablet thing does, but it still looks like shit.
Yeah. I don't even know why they put this on here.
Yeah, it looks like crap.
Any movies you're looking forward to?
Blade Runner. I saw It. Did you see It? It?
No. Why would I do that to myself?
It's disturbing. I liked it, though. It's better than the original. It's more graphic.
I'll watch it if I can get an Apple Watch 3, Series 3, and then the heart rate monitor will tell me that I'm dying.
The guy that they got to play the clown is really fucking weird in real life. He looks like the clown. It's like the clown's eyes go like outwards, not like a lazy eye. They just like go outwards. And then he has like long teeth and he drools while he's talking. It's very creepy. And he transforms, like his whole face opens up and he has like fangs everywhere.
Is any of this a spoiler?
No, because the original movie came out like 27 years ago. There's gonna be a sequel because there's two parts. The original movie was a miniseries that included both parts, so this they made a more of a theatrical format, and then part one was when they were kids, part two is when they're adults.
It's all good, right, though. I don't have anything funny to end on, but we should end. It's getting hot in here. bringyourwallet.com/donate to share the show and support the show. bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. See you next week.
Sayonara. Billions and 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 billions.